and her voice rings out. Heel boy. And as she snaps her fingers and taps the back of her thigh, she gestures you forward, inviting you to follow. The door of the mansion creeps open, stone walls ancient and powerful. You, falling to hands and knees and perhaps finding it the most pleasurable and perfect thing in the world. A simple and natural place to be, thanking your benefactor. And knowing that you'll get a lot of advantages out of it, too. Surely that's worth the momentary indignity. And you need to show loyalty. All this flashes through the mind in an instant as her eyes bore into yours, and your body perhaps ripples with her stare. That look is calculated to bring you erect, to make you twitch, and perhaps to evoke some salivation in the process, to promise the sensual delights to follow, even accompanying your appropriate service. As a good puppy, a good boy following on her heels, she holds the door open, allowing you time to navigate the cool stone steps, soothing after the long progression through the maze. She smiles downward, reaching one hand down to affectionately ruffle your hair. In, boy, there's much to do. And she does momentarily grasp that collar and pull on it, not hard enough to jerk you out of your stride, just to emphasize that it's there. And maybe it's strange that that evokes such sensual pleasure in you, but the thought, ownership, loyalty, bound in service, it all seems very attractive from this angle being down on the floor, looking up at her, and she does seem so much more imposing this way. Her hand darts across your back, nails raking gently, curling into your comfortable clothing. And she just observes. Then she walks over to the fireplace. And you have time to take the room in. The scent of it, incense, sandalwood. But also the smells of fire and hearth and home and definitely food cooking from somewhere nearby. That thought makes you salivate, and maybe it's something you do unthinkingly. But it is something that occurs. And Seraph stares down. Don't worry, boy, we'll get to you. It's not malicious, it's just scolding, gently, almost motherly. A new pet, after all, is to be played with and toyed with, and generally loved, especially in the moments before the beginning of proper training. And she stares down at her new pet. Then she looks aside at a serving girl who's bustled up. Her outfit is barely decent. Blonde hair cascades to her shoulders. Her body is in a stature of deference. As she looks up at Seraph and says, "Mistress, who's this?" To which the response is, "Oh, just a stray I found wandering. I think I'm going to keep him. If he trains up nicely enough. Just need to walk him through his paces." Speaking of paces, stay, and the imprecation is harsh. Perhaps a small whimper escapes as you sit up on haunches, hands and knees, staring up at her. She smiles downward. "Now we're going to have to do something about that clothing. That's not appropriate at all." And her hand, deft, fingernails like razors, sharp, but restrained, careful, caring. One hand pats you on the head, and the other, with a gentle, faint ripping sound, moves through the clothing on her and on you. Within an instant, both of you are standing quite nude. And staring up and noticing the tatters falling to the ground, find yourself standing before a large-breasted, dominating, and she's fully standing, figure. Her eyes are darting on you. And she looks down with a smile, she observes your posture. "Good, but you need to sit up more," and she leans down and, with gentle correction, pushes your back down and your stomach in and out. toward the bottom of you, so that you end up in a much more low and yet still sustainable posture. Nearby, a rustling can be heard as a cabinet is opened. Apparently, it's been unused for some time. And some vestigial part of you, some part of you that's less important now, notices that knee pads are being brought. Very important item for puppy play, especially if you're going to keep that posture for a long time. And she leans down and looks at you, her eyes locking to yours. Now you know I've promised safety, nurturing, a place from which you can base your operations if you want to go out walking. You want to go for a walk? Well, later. But you need to cooperate too. Now, up, and she slaps your back haunch gently on the left side. And you raise the leg. Perhaps it's instinctive. Perhaps it's just because you don't want your knees to get hurt. And she quickly buckles the knee pad around while the leg is raised, tightening it with deft fingers. One hand is always massaging your scalp, running through your hair, and you lower the leg. And without her even needing to tap, you raise the other, and she pats you on the head. Good boy. Good job. And the second knee pad is buckled just as quickly, giving you a comfortable cushion. She stands up as if appraising her work, and smirking, grabs a pair of gloves from the same cabinet. Well, she grabs them from the serving girl, who's been watching all this with apparent amusement. And once these are delivered, she bustles off toward the kitchen from which that delicious scent can be smelled downstairs. Seraph spends time gently undoing the buckles of each of the shoes, and then places them in front of you. Wanting to please, your hands move forward as if you were going to step into them. They're simple, with a puppy pattern and a padded underside for hands and knee play. But she leans down and smacks your wrist carefully. No. Stay. You haven't been asked to raise your hands, after all. And your eagerness betrayed you in that moment of simplicity. Not making the same mistake twice, your hands remain just where they are. But she notices eyes locked on those little gloves there to complete your ensemble. Well, not quite, but closer. Finally, after what seems like far too long in puppy's impatient mind, she reaches down and says, "Paw." To which, as she raises her hand toward it, your right hand rests gently, limply over hers. The glove is slid on, delicately, tied in place and then locked with a small, padded, and appropriate little manacle. Those aren't coming off till she wants. And nothing about this seems odd. Perhaps that's the oddest thing of all. "Paw," she says. And that first hand goes down and the other goes up automatically. And then she grasps it, supporting you, and gently slides the second on. Throughout, her other hand knots down through your hair, finds your collar, and she inspects it. Now this is a magical symbol of our little contract, a sign of how you understand this place, but it's not yet a real collar. I think that we need something real to bond with it. And as she snaps her fingers, that same girl from before is present. She brings the collar and leash over, and then waits. Seraph looks at her sharply, out, dismissing her. This is a time for the two of you, for the new puppy and the mistress. And her hand knots under the collar. The one on your neck that is more magic than substance. And she holds a similar one, black leather. It has a leash already attached, but she detaches this, perhaps inducing a sense of disappointment, but she sets it nearby, and that brings about tail-wagging eagerness. Indeed, you do wave your hindquarters a little eagerly, and she smirks, Then she appears surprised. Oh, I've forgotten something. Stay. And as she says that, maybe you feel your musculature seize up, or maybe you just think about it mentally as, I better stay where I am, this could get good. Maybe you're just the passive observer. As she moves out of sight and retrieves something from the cabinet herself, you hear a faint, slick sound, and she walks behind you. She pats your rump and says, raise, and again, perhaps without thinking, your front body arches down. Your buttocks arch up. All these little positions becoming ingrained in your mind, one by one, so that maybe there were deals and bargains going on that you weren't entirely aware of before. Or maybe that collar you're already wearing is resonating with the one you are going to wear. It just feels right to arch your body down and present yourself. One hand massages gently around, rubbing your buttocks repeatedly. And then, something slick and warm, sliding. She leans down. You can hear her breath quickening. This is arousing her as well. And she explains, now, this is necessary. You have to be the complete puppy before you're allowed to wear that. And she directs your fixed head and eyes by grasping the back of your head, focusing your eyes right down on that collar where it lies and the leash nearby. And that's when you feel it, the plug sliding in, filling you. And you feel the fluffy upraised tail, the slight curve at the end of the plug. And as she gently runs her hands through some very soft and silky fur on the tail, she lets it plop into you, lets it sit there. She imprecates, it will take some getting used to. And then she grasps your buttocks and squeezes them together, just pressing the sensitive ridges against the nestled and relatively small toy, lubed up and inserted, there for you to squeeze on. And that too feels like the most natural thing in the world. And when you wag your tail, you can even feel it bowing down and hitting the edges of your flanks with its enthusiasm. You wag eagerly, and she smiles. You learned that one without needing any training. Good boy. And she pats you, gently and then more sharply on the head. The second pat actually seemed to leave something behind. You can feel it looping behind your ears, resting there, almost like a part of you. She runs her fingers through the ears on the dog ear headband and slides one hand under your jaw, around the collar, gripping it, pulling it. She seems disproportionately pleased with the situation, as if there were some joke you weren't in on, and you look up quizzically at her, your head on the side, emulating exactly what you are becoming. Now, puppy, for the last part of your equipment, followed by some nice training, then supper, then we'll go to bed. Stay. And as she leans down and unlatches the collar from its buckle, she places one end of the leather under your neck. You can feel it. She wants you to feel it, clearly. And she slides the ends up and around. And they seem to mix in with the collar already there, until there's just one entity. And maybe you feel it first in your head, or first in your chest, the deepening of your breathing, the slowing of your thoughts as if they were moving through something heavy. The quickening, the feeling of vitality, the feeling of endurance and strength. She did promise you that. Well, it looks like she's delivering. And when you try to speak, as she invites you to do, come on, boy, speak. What comes out might just be a bark or a groan or some visceral, happy, panting sound. And when you hear the buckle slide home and then latch over, and then the clicking of a tiny lock, you realize you're collared. And she wraps her fingers around the back of the collar. You can feel her knuckles against your neck, her nails scratching gently at the top of your back. And then she says, good boy. Stand. And you do, perhaps eagerly, rising from your hands and knees to the highest position you can while staying on the tips of your toes and your hands, eager, almost jumping in her hand. And when she slides that leash to your collar, when she clicks it in place, the hook wrapped around the little metal decal, the same place where that lock is, as the key is deposited on its own hook with the word puppy above it, next to the cabinet from which she's been retrieving all this equipment. She smiles, but she doesn't take hold of the leash. She lets it hang loosely next to you. Maybe you look at this disappointed. Perhaps you whimper. And then she chides. We'll get to it, puppy. Just stay. She brings out a bowl of water. It's a clean, wonderful little porcelain bowl with puppy emblazoned on it. She places this on a wooden bench well off the floor, at head height for you, after all, you're a large enough puppy that this is appropriate. You have to lean up a little. Maybe it's embarrassing, but she seems pleased. And the water is cool, ice cold after a long walk and a long wait. And when food is brought out, well, that sets off your eagerness further, for it does smell delicious. The girl appears to be quite the cook. Now remember, we made all those bargains. If you're going to sit here, I should tell you, they're going to slowly kick in. There's still a part of you that's aware of the world out there. I doubt that even your mind could be easily tricked into accepting complete ignorance of it. But that part of your mind is still in a body that responds to my voice as the ultimate and sensual stimulus. Everything I say creeps into your head. And the thing about that is, the longer you wear that collar, the more powerful that gets. But there's something more. I think we should make a further deal. So, if you stay here, and you eat that, and you come to bed with me, and you take up a place here, I promise that whenever I call you a good boy, or scratch your ears, your eyes will roll back, and the pleasure that goes through you will be the pleasure of knowing that you're loved and well-treated and useful to me, that you can guard the household and otherwise help out, that you're contributing while being safe from the big bad world out there. And the first taste, as instinctively, you lean in and eat from the bowl down on the floor where you're supposed to be. And that thought is strange, but it's still pleasant. She leans in and says it for the first time since you accepted the deal just now. Truly accepted it, collar and clothes and all. Perhaps you feel a pleasant twinge in your buttocks as you clench. Perhaps your hips thrust. But she says, good boy, good boy. And she runs her nails across the back of your head, finding the place behind your ears and scratches. You don't know what it is at first. You've never felt anything like it. But your back left leg rises up and begins gently kicking against your side with an eerie flexibility you didn't quite think you could manage. But the twitching in your knees is enough to tell her, yes, you like it. And she continues petting, smirking as an obvious combination of arousal and pleasure at praise trail across your face. She leaves you to it for a little bit, rising up and opening a large door nearby. The servant had rushed to do it, but Seraph rebuffs her. No, this is going to be just us. And then, finished, you turn, drink, wipe your face on a nearby well-positioned towel, and turn toward her. You notice that, in keeping with her ability to change her form, she's wearing long leather boots now. They go up to her knees. They click. And with your position on hands and knees, they're just in line of sight. But what's more important is that she's bending over at the waist, reaching for it. She's going to take the handle of the leash for the first time. and when she grasps it, it's electric. You sit up attentively, dart to her heel. Good boy, she says, and it thrills through you. And then she begins to gently tug. But she doesn't need to. There's a lot of slack in that leash with you right behind her, staring at her boots, and she smiles. That appears to be the intention. The corridor is long and cool, refreshing. You see, off to one side, a little room has even been laid out. The word puppy is emblazoned by the door. There's a bed in there, suitable to curl up in. A little bathroom with a plaque next to it that says, Puppy Suspension Zone. Perhaps she's decided it's just simpler that way. There are tools that can be used to clean and brush a coat, though perhaps in this case they'll be used on your hair. There's even a basket full of toys of various descriptions, sexual and not. But you're pulled past quickly, even though you're eagerly taking in your surroundings. After all, she mentioned possible guard duty. It'll be good to know your way around here. It'll be good to be good, you think. The bedroom at the end is large. There's a bed, silk, red, although this has been pushed to the side. But in front of the fireplace is a huge armchair and a bearskin rug larger than any you'd ever seen on the outside. But your thoughts are simpler now, and one of the best ones is, ooh, there's a fireplace. Better curl up in front of that. She has other ideas, though, leading you on the leash as she sits in the chair, nude except for those boots, eminently comfortable in herself, little horns and fanged smile, accentuating a face that is all focused on her new plaything. She extends one boot, and she says, lick. And suddenly, running through your head, the best idea in the world would be to lick your way up her boots, to follow her every instruction, to be taught new things. But before your tongue can touch it, she appears to change her mind. She leans down and says, wait. There's one instruction first. The most important instruction in the world. You need to learn this trick, puppy. She extends her right hand. Shake. Well, that seems simple. Your right paw raises, meets hers. She grasps it by the wrist and shakes it up and down twice for emphasis, leans back, and lets you move toward your boot, toward the boot with which you are now obsessed, which is now yours to lick over. And the last thing that rings through your head, before darkness descends and training of the mind truly begins, are the words, good boy.